is nothing like being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I need a Sunday in every one of my weeks. Don't know what I would do without a Sunday. There is a word that I must address again, and it is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I want to thank Brother Powell, marvelous job he's doing on our drums today. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Listen now to the reading of God's word. It says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Look at that. Christ took hold of me for something, and Paul is pressing for that for which Christ took hold of him. The 13th verse says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. What's that, Paul? Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, comma, I press on toward the goal. For what? To win the prize. Who put it there? For which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Trying to wrap up my thoughts today on pressing toward God's goal. Pressing toward God's goal. Third and final part today. I introduced the thesis a couple of weeks ago that the greatness of God should move us to work on being a greater people and a greater church. In the first sermon, we talked about how God is great. He's great because he's our creator, sustainer, redeemer, judge, among many other qualities of God. Not only is God great, but I tried to tell you that God has great blessings for those who obey him. And he has great punishment for those who do not obey him. And therefore, the greatness of God should move us to be greater people. And so I told us in order for us to be greater people, we have to do like Paul and learn how to forget some of the stuff that's behind us. Well, what's back there? Some is bad that we've done and feel guilty about, or good we have failed to do. Sometimes we have to forget the trophies that we've earned in the past, because it's hard to run this race with trophies in hand. And then sometimes you have to forget the bad people and experiences you've encountered on your journey. But to be a greater person is not just a matter of forgetting. You got to also do some straining forward. And I shared with us in that first sermon, you better strain and make sure you say, because you can be a member of the church, frequent in attendance, faithful in giving. None of the above mean that you have Jesus in your life. Your name can be on our roll. You can be here every Sunday. You can give good money to the church. It does not mean you are saved. You better make sure and very sure that you have asked and you are trusting God to save you, because Jesus paid it all. If your salvation is based on you being a good person, you have a bogus salvation. It's going to let you down, because there is none righteous. No, not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus paid it all. And if you would accept him as payment, you can be saved. But if you try to get in on your own, you're going to always miss the mark. Make sure you're saved. Then we said in the second message, as we continued developing the thought of being a greater people, We talked about how we must strain to make sure we're saved, and then we talked about discipleship. We started off with that kindergarten stuff, study, serve, and give, and challenge us to grow to the next dimension of discipleship. Then we changed gears. We said that not only should the greatness of God move us to work on being a greater people, but it ought to move us to be a greater church. And so on the church, I talked about forgetting what is behind us. Some of us need to forget these grudges that we're holding on to. It's too long. If you're going to handle it, step up and handle it. If you're not going to step up and handle it, some stuff you just got to let it go. And you know, when you put it in the hands of the Lord, it's been my experience, God can do more with it than we would ever be able to do with it. So we got to forget the bad, and then there are some good that we need to forget if we cannot remember and move forward. I think we ought to be able to remember the hills and valleys of our history and move forward. We ought to be able to do that. But if you cannot do both, then moving forward is more important than just reminiscing over the past. When I read that text in Matthew where Jesus curses the fig tree, it ought to haunt you and me, because the fig tree, I believe, bore some figs at some point before Jesus came along. The problem was the day that Jesus came, there were no figs on the fig tree. And so what did Jesus do with his patient, understanding self? He cursed the fig tree because it had no figs on it in the day in question. And too many of us are resting on past accomplishments. We think that because we used to do a great job, that somehow we are excused from current service. I'm here to tell you every day is a new day. And I got enough sense to know that there are some things we used to be able to do we just can't do no more. Birthdays will take some stuff off your list of what you can do. But every day you wake up, there is something you can do for the Lord. If it's no more than encourage the next string of workers that's coming along behind you, you can do something for the Lord. And therefore, I told us we need to forget what's behind us and strain to be a church known for its evangelism, its edification, and making sure we're following godly principles. And then because that was so ambiguous, I mean, when we talk about what the church should do, the people on this side of the church say, "You right, Reverend, that's what they're supposed to do." And then I'm talking about the church this side, say, "Amen, Reverend," because they think I'm taking a shot at these people over here. And so I tried to get a little closer, get a little bit more specific than church, and didn't want to start with the deacons or the trustees or the choir or the usher. Start at the top. If the church is going to be a greater church, then the pastor got to strive to be a greater pastor. And I told you that means then that the pastor got to work on being a better feeder and leader of God's people. Tried to paint that picture of how the pastor is like the head dietitian in this hospital of the sin sick. That those who teach and preach in this season ought to understand the role they play in relationship to the head dietitian. There's things that God has not shown you about the patient, but the head dietitian knows. Don't hate on the head dietitian. God is the one who sent them. Go to personnel and ask God, how did you put this person on this position? But I shared with us on last week that many of you, I don't have diabetes. Some of you have diabetes and hypertension, and some of you were not born with these problems. You somehow developed them as life went on, but in your earlier years, you got used to eating certain type of foods, and these are your favorite foods. But now that you have diabetes, now that you have hypertension, some of the stuff you used to love to eat, you can't eat that stuff anymore because it messes up your blood pressure, it messes up your count, all that sort of carrying on. Well, the head dietitian knows that you can't give a diabetic the same thing you would give somebody who don't have diabetes. Now, if the patient asks for a piece of chicken and the dietitian knows that they're on a liquid diet, the dietitian knows no matter how much they beg and plead and cry for it, they can't have chicken if you're on a liquid diet. Is that right? And so then it's important for us to learn how God operates through those whom he sent to feed and lead his people. I shared with us on last week that God, for whatever reasons, anoints sinners to be the leader. And it's a strange situation. Because if it was up to us, we would go find the holiest person we could find. At least somebody holier than we are. At least somebody holier than we are. And the Lord keep on sending us Abrahams, and keep on sending us Davids, and keep on sending us Peters, and yes, keep on sending us Banings. Somehow, God takes a pile of dust that has obviously fallen short and puts his anointing on a clay pot and do marvelous things that any fool can see is not to be accredited to the pot, but is God using the clay pot for his honor and for his glory. I think I ought to just throw up a red flag here and warn you, it's dangerous to mess with those whom God has sent. And I want this on the tape, I want this on the CD, I want this on the DVD. This is a warning. God has anointed me for this season. I don't know how long this season lasts, but for this season, God has anointed me for this season. The last thing you want to do is be on the track with God's anointed coming down the track. David had enough sense to figure this out. David knew his day was coming, but it had not came yet. Saul was chasing David around, trying to kill him with a javelin and chased him all around the countryside. And David had a chance to take Saul out. And David said, touch not God's anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And at the right time, God took his hand off of Saul, put his hand on David. And David lived as king until he died. Saul lived as king until the Lord arranged for him to be killed. David ruled until David lay down and died. It's dangerous. Now, there's some people who can see the warning and say, oh, let me get on to the other side of the street. Other people got to get ran over by the train and say, oh, that train done ran me over. But y'all play this CD back. Remember the pastor told you, it's dangerous. We're on divine assignment here. Let me keep continuing my thoughts now. I'm trying to close up here. As we continue talking about how to be a greater church, not only must the pastor focus on being a greater feeder and leader of the church, but it doesn't matter how great the pastor is, the members got to make up in their mind that they're going to strain to be better at growing in their faith and following pastoral leadership. If you're going to grow in your faith now, you're going to have to study God's word. As much as we love music, as much as we love singing, as much as we love hooping, sometimes you can't hoop it out. Sometimes you can't sing it out. Sometimes you can't shout it out. Sometimes you just got to stand flat-footed and reason in the word of the Lord. And then, after we learn the word, we must obey the word. Never confuse knowledge with maturity. You can know everything about the Bible and live by none of it. Are y'all listening to me? You can be smart and carnal. If you want to please God, you got to hear and obey the word of the Lord. That's why you ought to have yourself in Bible study. That's why you ought to have yourself in Sunday school. It's almost laughable to give so much attention to a person's credentials to teach, and then you don't show up for teaching. What's up with that? You gotta grow in the word of the Lord. And then you gotta learn how to follow leadership, trusting that the Lord will make a way somehow. And I know it's a strain, and I would look for an alternative if it wasn't for the Bible. But every time I see the people of God moving anywhere, they're normally moving behind a sinner that God has decided to use as the leader. Can I argue my case? I noticed that when the people left Egypt, they was following behind Moses. Didn't nobody expect Moses to drink all that water down when they got to the Red Sea? They was trusting that somehow the Lord would make a way somehow. And y'all know the story. A handful of y'all know this story. They went down to the water. They were marching towards the water. And as they marched towards the water began to bank up and dry up, and they walked over on dry land. Why y'all acting like y'all don't know this story? Y'all read the Bible. Somebody, dog, do y'all know this story? All right. Not only that, but then Joshua came behind Moses. And it was time now not to go over the Red Sea, but to go over the flooded Jordan River. How they do it? They did it behind Joshua. And again, they walked down into the Jordan River bank. And God dried up the ground, and they walked over on dry ground. And then there was the occasion of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. How did they do that? They did it by following the leadership of Nehemiah. Now, Moses, Joshua, nor Nehemiah were perfect. I don't know if any of them would have been selected as our pastor, but God did marvelous things through their life because the people followed leadership, trusting that the Lord would make a way somehow. And I say to our Southern, if we want to do more than just talk about going to the next level, we're going to have to learn how to follow leadership. And the marvelous thing is, it's not all that complicated. We're trying to get everybody who claim to be so in love with Jesus, so in love with Southern, to study, serve, and give. We're trying to get a good group of those who study, serve, and give to be trained to be managers, teachers, follow-up workers, so we can develop ministry in the church. We don't want to be just a worship center, or worse, just an entertainment center. Because you know you can't worship God if you don't know him. You can be entertained by the singing, but you can't really worship God if you don't know him. But when you don't have people who can help you develop ministries, when you don't have people who can help you develop and teach curriculum, when you don't have people who can help you close the back door, hold on to people, follow up on them, you find yourself with nothing but a great big child care center. We come here and we play games with one another. We sing songs and we hoop each other up and we make everybody feel good and we high five one another on our way out the door feeling good. But if you're not living any better, only what you do for Christ is going to last. We must develop ministry not only for our members, but we must obviously develop ministry for this community. We're too old and we're too big to do so little in Avondale. If we were a little storefront church, 25, 50 members, we would say, well, we're just doing the best we can. What you expect out of us? But you can't stick your chest out talking about we've been here over 90 years and we got a whole fellowship hall full of predecessors and talk about our history, and we was over here and I remember we was down in the chapel and I remember we were on George Street and all this sort of carrying on. You can't quote that kind of history and then people ask you, now what do you do in Avondale And you got to start scratching your head. To whom much is given, much is required. And God is calling us to be the light. God is calling us to be the salt. It's bigger than an activist pastor. It's bigger than a pastor that's just energetic for the community. The church got to be involved in the community. Are y'all listening to me? The vision, I'm trying to get you to see the vision is not all that complicated. We're trying to get people to be disciples of Christ. We're trying to get disciples to become ministry managers. And then we're trying to do it all with a financial soundness. It's nothing complicated about this. We need to pay off debt. It's embarrassing for God's house to be in debt. It's embarrassing for God's house to need repair. We're driving beautiful cars. And the Lord's house got a hole in the roof. We got on new outfits and paint is chipping in the sanctuary of the Lord's house. You done upgraded houses and we sitting on chairs that the Jews were sitting on before they let us come up in here. I mean, I know we want to shout, but it's hard to shout when you're missing the mark. Now, you can feel good if you want to, but only what you do for Christ is going to last. It gets better. It gets better. Don't think it's just going to beat you in the head. The sermon get better. But let me throw this 2 cents in here, and I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm going to smile a little bit so y'all get a little bit more comfortable, but I'm so serious. Southern is not for everybody. Baines is definitely not for everybody. You need to find some place where you can be comfortable. You ought not keep coming to a place that you know never meets your need. The choir never sang your song. Pastor never preached right. The ushers never smiled good enough for you. It's never right. Baby, at some point you gotta say, how long you gonna keep going to the same place, doing the same thing, expecting different results? At some point, you gotta get yourself up and try something different. Amen. One of my colleagues called and was telling me that one of the preachers that came through here was starting up another church. And he wanted to know how I felt about it. I said, Doc, tell me the time and place so I can announce that. I got some people that might want to go. Let me know when and where, and we'll promote it, because you ought to be happy wherever you are. I mean, the journey is hard enough when you're happy. I can't imagine trying to serve the Lord and I'm not happy about the journey. Find your place, but at some point, you got to stop sitting up in Red Lobster complaining about they don't have good chicken. You are in the wrong place. They ain't going to never have good chicken at Red Lobster. You got to get your chicken leaven self up and go find you a chicken shack. That's a seafood restaurant. Now, let me just go on since I'm here. If you had about your fifth or sixth stop, you might want to ask yourself, now, come on now. Are all of these churches messed up? None of these preachers can preach. None of these choirs can sing. None of these ushers are friendly enough for you. You know what the problem might be? You! Keep preaching, man. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. I'm talking about a greater church. A greater church calls for the pastor straining to be a greater pastor. Members got to strain to be better members. Finally, now the helpers have to strain to be better helpers. The cabinet members, the officers need to get it in their spirit. Their job is to assist the pastor as qualified, appointed members. Now, first of all, you got to understand the best way to assist the pastor is to follow the pastor's instructions. You can't assist the pastor and you following the people's instruction. You got to learn how to follow the pastor's instructions. Now, there are examples in the Bible of both kind of helpers. In the book of Exodus 32:21-24, there was a brother named Aaron. I'm not talking about your cousin Aaron. I'm talking about Aaron in the Bible. Moses' assistant, Aaron. Moses went on the mountain 40 days talking with the Lord, the Ten Commandments, having a high time in the Lord. And while Moses is up here talking to the Lord about the people, they hear some noise down at the bottom of the mountain. What is all this noise? They down here having a party. What y'all partying about? We got us a new God. You got a new what? Us done got us a new God. What you talking about? You got a new God. Aaron built us a God, built us a calf. Now listen to the background as you read the story. The people asked Aaron to build us a calf. And y'all know what Aaron said? Aight. He got golden earrings and golden trinkets from them. Put it in the fire, pulled out of the fire the golden calf, and people crazy enough to dance and shout and praise the calf they just made for being their God. How in the world did they get in that situation? They had somebody who would do exactly what they said do. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you pay a person enough money, they'll do exactly what you tell them to do. You pay them enough money, they'll tell you that seat right there is blue or whatever other color you want it to be. And if you're not careful, you'll be guilty of being in that generation that has itching ears, that always want to hear something that sounds good, something that tickles me, something that makes me feel good. Listen, you ought not feel but so good when you're living wrong. How you gonna feel good every Sunday and you live wrong every week? Preach, Pastor. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, there were some other brothers that had some sense. Ezra was up preaching the word of God and casting the vision, sharing with the people, thus saith the Lord. And there were Levites who would hear what Ezra had to say, echo, explain, and help the people understand. That's how every officer need to see themselves, that their job is to be an extension of the pastor's office. If that gives you heartburn, can't roll like that, you would do yourself a favor to get off of the track. Because you know what happened to Aaron? Him died. Yeah, him did. Aaron, by every measure, should have been the next man in line. But because of his disloyalty, because he could not follow the God plan, he died in the wilderness, and Joshua, of all people, became the successor after Moses. Only what you do for Christ will last. Not only that, brothers and sisters, if you're going to be a good officer, if you're going to be a good helper, you got to be qualified to sit in the seat. If we're trying to help all of the members study, serve, and give, you embarrass your office when you don't study, serve, and give. How you gonna be an officer talking about Bible study just ain't my thing? Preach, Reverend. We supposed to be soul winners, and you can't remember four little kindergarten statements to lead somebody to Christ, and they're in every bulletin that you pick up. We're trying to help the members grow to pay their tithes and give their offering, and you got your chest stuck out talking about you done grew to give $5 a week. Don't make me call your name. Let me keep looking at my Bible. Study, serve, and give ought to be old hat for those who sit in high seats. Then you got to be able to get along with these people. You can't be a helper and be mean. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't give y'all permission to clap? Okay. If you're going to be a good officer, you got to be known for having a loving, flexible spirit. You can't be grumpy. You can't be hateful. And my God, you can't be arrogant. Talking about I'm a leader in the church. You embarrass Christ and you hurt the church when you are so arrogant that you think can't nobody talk to you. We are all servant leaders. I don't care how much Reverend, Doctor, Deacon, Brother, Sister, so-and-so you got behind your name. All of our job description is servant. You might be a singing servant. You might be an ushering servant. You might be a preaching servant. But we are all nothing but servants. And this is not hard to understand when you start with discipleship. My fear is we've jumped over discipleship. We've taken people who look like they'll be an officer and made them an officer before they showed you the strength of discipleship. If you are not strong enough to follow, you're too weak to lead. You've got to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then you got to be able to get along with the pastor. You must have a passion for excellence. You must get out of your spirit. Reverend, it's just the church. It don't take all of that. This is good enough for the church. We have never done much better than this. Let's just do it like this. That's garbage. If you can give 110% to your little old job, you ought to give 150% to the Lord's church. If you like your house to look nice, I don't understand what's so hard getting your mind around the Lord's house ought to look better than your house. If you give your career its best, you ought to give God's service even more. God deserves our best, our best, our best in service. And then, of course, they are appointed into office. This is the model of the Bible. Moses appointed some, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 18, Moses appointed some able men, some over 10, some over 50, some over 100, some over 1,000, but all appointed by Moses. And then in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible shows us that the way the 12 disciples became the disciples and then the apostles of Jesus was Jesus selected or appointed them. And then in Acts chapter 6, the Bible talks about how those first seven were put into office. The Bible says the apostles asked, the disciples gathered, find us seven men of honest report, those who are full of the Holy Ghost and those who are full of wisdom. Bring them to us and we will appoint them over this business. Well, what I've tried to do for these three Sundays is to make sure that I don't have your blood on my hand. I got enough blood on my hand that comes from me. I don't want to stand before judgment bar and see one of my members raise their hand and said, Lord, I would have been a better Christian. But my pastor never explained to me what was required of me. I don't want any of my members to get to judgment bar and tell the Lord, Lord, I would have done better, but I did not know any better. It's my job to make sure that nobody can say, I don't know what the Bible says. Did you hear me? Now, you might hear the word and go do what you want to do. That's on you. But I don't want the Lord to chastise me for not telling you what thus saith the Lord. And so consider yourself informed that God is a great God. And the greater you see him, the greater you ought to want to be for him. Did you hear me? The more you see how the Lord has been good to you, the more you ought to want to give the Lord your very best in service. Yes, my Lord, I don't want the Lord to look down on me and say I am lukewarm. Did you hear me? I want the Lord to smile on my service. I may not ever be able to do all that the Lord wants me to do, but I want the Lord to be able to sing. He tried to do the very best that he knew how. Did you hear me? Am I the only one here who look at what God has already done and feel within myself I owe the Lord more than I'm giving? Did you hear me? You don't have to look at the promises of God. Just look at the past with God. Think about how much trouble you've already been in. And nobody but Jesus walked you out of that thing. Yes, my Lord. Just think about how much food the Lord has already put on your table. How many clothes the Lord has already put on your back. How the Lord has kept the shelter over your head. Yes, my Lord. The more I see how good he's been, the more I want to serve the Lord. Now, I think I ought to tell you about this kind of sermon. You can't look around and get permission and clues from others, because everybody can't roam with this kind of sermon. Did you hear me? There's somebody here so mad that if they thought they could get away with it, they would come up here, take the mic, and knock me down. But don't do it, brothers. You really don't want to do that. There's somebody else. Yes. They're trying to smile and act like they're with him. But they just as mad as they can be. So don't look around to find somebody to say amen. Don't look for permission to give God some praise. You got to do like Paul did in the text. I'm sure Paul wanted Titus to press with him. I'm sure Paul wanted Timothy to press with him. I'm sure Paul wanted Barnabas to be a partner in pressing. But notice what Paul said in our text. He said, I press on. I know he wanted to be able to say that we are pressing on, but you know, in your life and mine, every now and then, you gotta leave the crowd behind and tell the Lord, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. I dare you, children, to just tell the Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one join me, still I'm going to follow. Did you hear me? Can I tell you what you can expect? There'll be some wolves and there'll be some enemies. Yes, my Lord, but you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you got to do is keep on pressing towards the prize. The Lord will. I wish I had a witness here. The Lord will take care of his own. Can I testify? Lord, he may not come when you want him. Yes, my Lord, he may not come the way you want him to come. He may not come according to your expectations. But if you be faithful, if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, if you keep on pressing, yes, the Lord will. I wish I had two witnesses that can testify. The Lord will make a way out of nowhere. I've tried him too many times. I know what he can do. He can make your enemies stumble and fall. Yes, he can. The Lord can turn your enemies into your servants. Oh, yes, he can. The Lord does not only prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, but God is so big. God is so bad, he make your enemies come to the table and take your order. Ain't God all right? God is so big, God is so bad, he'll make your enemies come back to the table and ask you, would you like any seconds? The Lord is all of that. Oh, yes, he is. I'm not telling you what I heard Daddy say. I'm not telling you what I heard Mama say. But I've tried him for myself. Yes, my Lord. Can I tell you, if you're looking for joy, just keep on pressing. If you're looking for purpose, just keep on pressing. If you need hope in your life, just keep on pressing. Life is so strange. Yes, it is. Life is strange, y'all. If you try to pursue joy, straight up joy, it always comes up short. But if you make up in your mind to serve the Lord, no matter what, he will put joy down in your heart. And when people ask you, how'd you get joy? You just have to tell them, I got joy somewhere on my journey. I wish I had a witness. Peace. Yes. If you try to go out with a search committee looking for peace, looking under every rock, trying to find peace of mind, calling every number in your phone book, trying to catch up with pizza. Pizza is never available. But if you press toward the prize, you'll wake up one day and find out the Lord done put some pizza in your heart. That surpasses all understanding. And when they ask, how'd you get pizza? You just have to tell them, I got pizza on my journey. Yes, my Lord. There are those who are always looking for purpose in all the wrong places. You read every book you could find. You spent all kinds of money on counselors. But the preacher came by to tell you, if you press towards the prize, the Lord will give your life purpose. It'll help you get up in the morning. It'll help you face another dark night. Thank God, all right. I'm too cheering, but I'm glad I got the Lord and got him in time. Anybody here glad you got the Lord in your life and got him? Got him in time. I know I'm through. I've preached too long. But I want to call. I want to call his name. Would y'all please give me a little more time? I just want to call his name. I think I ought to warn you. There's power. There's power. Power in his name. I don't want to sneak up on you. I don't want to startle you. The power in his name. His name make demons begin to tremble. His name is so sweet that birds will hush their singing just to hear his name. Can I call his name? Can I call his name? His name is Jesus. 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 Hey. Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus is Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. Would you stand? Oh, Jesus. The invitation is extended. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on and get him in your life.
Jesus is his name.
Come on, join. Be reinstated today.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on in here. Come on in here.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
The door is open.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
The invitation is extended.